Nama Om Vishnu Bandhaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatyade Shatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasa Tato Jayamudirayet Nashta Prayeshavabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18. The residents of Jambudvipa offer prayers. And is it verse 18 we're reading today? Okay. These are prayers of the residents of Ketumala Varsha to Lord Kamadeva Pradyumna. And this is the first prayer, and this is in prose form, so it's not a verse as such, but it's prose, and so it's a little hard to recite as we usually do, so I'll just read through it. I'll try to read through it. Om Hram Hrim Hrum Om Namo Bhagavate Rishikeshaya Sarvaguna Visheshaya Vilakshitatmane Akutinam Chittinam Chetasam Visheshanam Charipataye Shodashakalaya chando mayayanna mayayam rita mayaya sarva mayaya sahase ojase balaya kantaya kamaya namaste ubayatra bhuyat. Hare Krishna. Shall we do the word for word? That's our tradition, isn't it? Okay. Om. O Lord. Ram Hrim Hrum. The seeds of the mantra chanted for a successful result. Om. O Lord. Nama. Respectful obeisances. Bhagavate, unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishikeshaya, unto Rishikesha, the Lord of the senses. Sarvaguna, with all transcendental qualities. Visheshai, with all varieties. Vilakshita, particularly observed. Atmane, unto the soul of all living entities. Akutina, of all kinds of activity. Chittina, of all kinds of knowledge. Chetasam, of the functions of the mind, such as determination and mental effort. Visheshana, of their respective objects. Cha, and Adipataye, unto the Master. Shodashakalaya, whose parts are the 16 original ingredients of creation. Namely, the 5 objects of the senses and the 11 senses, including the mind. We're a little over halfway through the word for word. Chandamayaya, unto the enjoyer of all ritualistic ceremonies. Annamayaya, who maintains all living entities by supplying the necessities of life. Amritamayaya, who awards eternal life. Sarvamayaya, who is all-pervading. Sahase, the powerful. Ojase, who supplies strength to the senses. Balaya, who supplies strength to the body. Kantaya, the supreme husband, or master of all living entities. Kamaya, who supplies all necessities for the devotees. Nama, respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Ubayatra, always, during both day and night, or both in this life and the next. Bhuyat, may there be all good fortune. We did it. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This is Lakshmi Devi speaking. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishikesha, the controller of all my senses and the origin of everything. As the supreme master of all bodily, mental, and intellectual activities, he is the only enjoyer of their results. The five sense objects and 11 senses, including the mind, are his partial manifestations. He supplies all the necessities of life, which are his energy, and thus non-different from him. And he is the cause of everyone's bodily and mental prowess, which is also non-different from him. Indeed, he is the husband and provider of necessities for all living entities. The purpose of all the Vedas is to worship him. Therefore, let us all offer him our respectful obeisances. May he always be favorable toward us in this life and the next. That was the translation, and now the purport. I won't have you repeat the translation, unless you want. In this verse, the word maya is further explained in regard to how the Lord expands his mercy in different ways. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shuyate. The energies of the Supreme Lord are understood in different ways. In this verse, he is described as the original source of everything, even our body, senses, mind, activities, prowess, bodily strength, mental strength, and determination for securing the necessities of life. Indeed, the Lord's energies can be perceived in everything. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, rasoham apsu konteya. The taste of water is also Krishna. Krishna is the active principle of everything we need for our maintenance. This verse, offering respectful obeisance unto the Lord, was composed by Rama, the goddess of fortune, and is full of spiritual power. Under the guidance of a spiritual master, everyone should chant this mantra and thus become a complete and perfect devotee of the Lord. One may chant this mantra for complete liberation from material bondage, and after liberation, one may continue to chant it while worshiping the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha Loka. All mantras, of course, are meant for this life and the next life, as Krishna himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, satatam kirtayanto mang yatantascha dridhavrataha namasyantascha mang bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. A devotee who, both in this life and the next, chants the Maha Mantra or any mantra is called Nitya Yuktopasaka. And so ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, which I will not repeat just now, although Srila Prabhupada recommends to chant this mantra. Actually, it would be nice if we tried it together, but yes, time factor is there, which is mentioned in I believe it's the previous verse. This chapter is called The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers. And what we are getting in this chapter is a continuation of the geography lesson of the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, which, as I mentioned some time ago, is describing the universe as a kind of yantra. And yantras are quite orderly arrangements, graphic arrangements, sometimes two-dimensional, sometimes three-dimensional. This is describing a three-dimensional yantra, which then one is encouraged to meditate upon. And one of the interesting things about this section of this geography lesson is that we are hearing about different residents of portions of this yantra and how they are meditating on and worshiping the Lord. And it turns out that these descriptions have multiple significance. And here I'm going to take assistance from one scholar. We usually sort of groan when we hear about scholars in Bhagavatam classes, but there is one scholar who studied a particular temple. I think I may have mentioned this also in an earlier class, called the Vaikuntha Perumal Temple in South India, in Kanchipuram. He spent some 25 years studying this temple, which he discovered is nothing less than a three-dimensional Srimad Bhagavatam, because it contains sculptured panels, some 52 or 56, I forget, panels around this temple, on the temple walls, which are each one describing different pastimes of the Lord. And he argues that this can only be the Bhagavatam, because some may say, oh, these are described in so many Puranas. No, he spent 25 years to say, no, it's the Bhagavatam. And he wrote a book which was published just shortly after his departure from the world. And in this book, he mentions, he describes each of these panels in quite some detail. And one of the panels is of this passage which we are reading now. It's describing Kamadeva, who is also identified as Pradyumna, which he translates Pradyumna as the preeminently mighty one, preeminently mighty. And this, the image of Kamadeva is because it says in the Bhagavatam that that Kamadeva is entertaining Vatsara, the year. Vatsara means the year, with his sons and daughters, who are numbered, which are the days and the nights, which are counted as 36,000, and which is not mentioned clearly here, but he elaborates, they marry each other, brothers and sisters, and they produce offspring, but these offspring are stillborn. At the end of the year, that's indicated in previous verse, they all are terrified by the Kala Chakra of the Lord. So the time, the Lord in the form of time, as Sudarshan Chakra comes And they are they all have miscarriages. And so it's explained that they are having miscarriage of the hopes and anticipations, the intentions everyone has, the plans. All of that gets aborted by time. And what Kamadeva is doing in this sculpture, it just says in the Bhagavatam that he is entertaining the year and the sons and daughters and also Rama and Devi. What is he doing? The sculptors in this temple decided he is playing the part of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. And so the sculpture shows Kamadeva lifting Govardhan Hill. And there's a reason for that, which I won't go into. How this all ties in. It has to do with the rainy season, the position of the panel on a particular side of this temple, which has to do with the movement of the seasons and the suns. It's extremely complicated and meaningful. But the interesting point here is that these prayers of Rama Devi are also related to prayers or song or poem by one of the Alvars named Andal or Goda. Andal was the one and only female Alvar of the 12 Alvar Vaishnava poets of the 8th, 9th centuries of the Common Era. And Andal, it's understood in her Nachiyar Tirumoli, is praying to Kamadeva in this mood of Lakshmi as described in the Bhagavatam. And what is she praying? I'll give you, I won't read the whole thing, but some sample of what she prays. She and her friends in the mood, that is, Andal in the mood of Pinnai. Pinnai is the Tamil name of Radharani. So she, in the mood of Pinnai with the gopis, are performing a ritual. They are observing austerities. They're bathing in cold water in the river in the month of Magh, which is now, so that in order to please Kamadeva, who is Ananga, who has no body, because his body was burned to ashes by Lord Shiva, so he is Ananga, and he has disappeared and entered into the body of everyone, and therefore Kama is experienced by everyone. They are praying to him to please bring, to make it possible for them to come to Lord Krishna, and that Lord Krishna may be their husband. And so, this is verse number 8 of 14 of Andal. She says, "My body is tarnished, my hair is disheveled, my lips are colorless, and I eat only once. O splendid and able God of desire, don't you notice the vow I endure? Don't you know, my Lord, only one thing's left to say. Graciously crown my womanhood by making this true, quote, She will seize the feet of her beloved Keshava, unquote. Okay, so that's one verse. Shall I read another? I worship you three times a day, venerate your feet, toss pure flowers in adoration, and sing your praise. But I faultlessly serve only him whose color is the sea surrounding the earth. And if I don't get true life, I'll run wild, weeping and wailing, crying out, Mother! And you'll be thoroughly disgraced. Kamadev will be thoroughly disgraced. As if, after yoking an ox to the plow, you worked it, but never fed it. Don't you see? This is poetry, you see. So this is Rama Devi in quite a different mode of prayer than what we read in the Bhagavatam. And yet, it's understood by the architects and the king who sponsored this particular temple that behind this is this mood of praying in order to gain the pleasure of Kamadeva Pradyumna so that through him the Lord Krishna may be pleased. So these verses are aids. It is a mantra, as Srila Prabhupada says. It is a mantra for approaching the Lord. And so it is a means. Shishirana Gopina Ki Jai. It is a means to approach the Lord. And as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, one can chant any mantra and so attain perfection. What does he say? A devotee who both in this life and the next chants the Maha Mantra or any mantra is called Nitya Yukta Upasaka. An upasaka is a worshiper or a meditator. And Nitya Yukta, Yukta is, of course, related to the word yoga. It means connected, and nitya, of course, means eternal. And it's interesting that in the purport, Srila Prabhupada suggests that a mantra can be chanted in this life and the next. So you chant Hare Krishna in this life, and you go back home, back to Godhead, and what do you do there? You chant Hare Krishna. Haribol. Which is, of course, very much what we are planning to do this weekend. We're going to be doing lots of chanting of Hare Krishna. If someone would be coming here who had never heard the Hare Krishna mantra before, they would go away certainly never, ever, ever forgetting the Hare Krishna mantra. This, of course, is Sankirtana, and Srila Prabhupada explains that Sankirtana means two things. It means congregational, some can mean together, kirtana, glorification, and also some can mean complete. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Sankirtanam can mean complete description. So the practice of Sankirtanam is to describe the Lord in a complete way, simply by the repetition with heart and soul of the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. Sankirtanam, of course, we understand, has been very much brought to us by the Lord himself. The Lord, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we say, has delivered. He has brought to us. In American television, I was sort of fed on a lot of American television when I was a child, and there would always be commercials, and they would, of course, interrupt the show, and they would say, this program is being brought to you by such and such sponsors. You know, I remember one was Prudential Insurance Company, and the person who advertised it was a young man named Ronald Reagan, who eventually got voted the American president. So, brought to you by, so this Sankirtan is being brought to us by none other than the Lord himself. It is being delivered to us by the Lord himself. And so we understand that it is the Lord himself who is the best of preachers. We use this word preaching, and sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I hear this word, I cringe. I cringe because of certain associations I have with it. Some associations are of born-again Christians who come up to you and sort of, I think this is where the expression in your face comes from, sort of they stand 10 centimeters in front of you and tell you that unless you give your life to Jesus, then you will go to hell, and so on and so forth. So that kind of association with preaching is there. The word preaching means proclamation in English. It comes from to proclaim. And so it is an appropriate word, certainly, in our tradition. We, as agents of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we proclaim that there is a supreme personality of Godhead, a very playful personality of Godhead, as we read in the Bhagavatam, and it is possible to approach him, and particularly it is possible to approach him through the medium of his name. Now, I'm sort of underlining this word medium, and we may feel a little uncomfortable with that. We just heard this morning, after Mangal Arati, Srila Prabhupada says that if one understands that the name of Krishna and Krishna are identical, he used the word identical, then it's understood one is on the stage of bhava. And bhava means, he says, beyond the modes of material nature. When we think of identity, we may understand this in different ways, but certainly here the emphasis is, as we understand from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nam nama kari bahuda nija sarva shakti, that all of your energies are contained in the holy name, and therefore it is the same as being with the Lord to chant. But I'm sort of underlining the word medium, that mantra is also a medium by which we approach the Lord. It is a medium, and at the same time, it is the Lord himself. And what I want to say is that this is bridge preaching in the best meaning of the term. bridge. Some weeks ago in Singh Achalam, one of my godbrothers gave a very wonderful lecture in which he warned us to be careful about bridge preaching, that so many things in the name of bridge preaching may be going on, but the bridge may be only getting built halfway across the river. You may not be getting actually across to those you are reaching with the message you intend to bring. So I was thinking about that, and I appreciated his point very much, that we don't want to water down the message. At the same time, I felt a little uncomfortable with the idea that bridge preaching is somehow second class. And then I found an interesting passage. It turns out that Vrindavan Das Thakur, in his Chaitanya Bhagavata, refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Dharma Setu. And the word Setu means bridge. So he's saying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the bridge to Dharma, or the bridge of Dharma. And then I thought some more about it, that if we think about what do we do when we preach? Practically speaking, all of the preaching we do can be seen as bridge preaching, because we are building bridges, or we are traversing a bridge, we could say, that's already built, and we might prefer to say that. We might want to say that our Srila Prabhupada has built a wonderful bridge, a very broad bridge, and a very long bridge, which is extending all the way across all the philosophies, all the halfway notions of religiosity. He's building a bridge across all of that, which enables anyone who then gets on that bridge to come all the way across. And as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his purport to this passage from Vrindavan Das Thakur, bring everyone all the way from this material world across the Viraja River to Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha doesn't just mean, you know, it doesn't mean excluding Goloka. Vaikuntha is including Goloka. Everything that we do is, if we want to use, and I want to use, this analogy or this image of the bridge, everything that we do in reaching out is bridge making, it's bridge building. It's extending ourselves outward, and also it's making way for persons to come the other way. Now, this was also expressed. There was some anxiety expressed in not this devotee's lecture, but the next devotee's lecture. He said, yes, these, you know, bridge preaching, what's going to happen? You're going to build a bridge, and then somebody's going to come across the bridge, and God knows what they're going to bring with them. All kind of nonsense, and, you know, yeah, you want to keep that out. Well, yes, that is something we want to watch out for. Then again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ideal bridge preacher, what did he do when he met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? he sat and listened to him for 7 days. He kept silent for 7 days. He let Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya come all the way across that bridge. And then when he was all the way across that bridge, then he was ready to listen to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very dedicated follower. So many examples. I mean, the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu built bridges. Reading about Srila Prabhupada, what he did in his preaching. It's all about building bridges. And this is what we are doing as we participate in this Sankirtan movement. We are continuing the tradition of building bridges, of extending out. And then, yes, there has to be a warning. What is it that we are bridging? Let us be always clear. We want to extend across to provide that which will, in fact, change people's hearts. To do that, we need to extend the bridge also within. The outward-going bridge has to also go within. We have to make sure that the bridge is going all the way from heart to heart. And that is what we are aiming to do when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra together in Sankirtan, in Radhadesh Mellows Ki Jai. We want there to be changes of hearts for all of us, and we want there to be a reverberation that goes outside these hard stone walls of this castle to extend all over the world, to vibrate, to shake up, as we heard this amazing example yesterday of this instrument. Maharaj, you said in Delhi, they go around with this twanging instrument all over India. And in the beginning of winter, so that's this time, more than when, okay. Anyway, it's time when everyone is sort of, you know, bundling up and sort of closing themselves to what's outside. But this instrument, this vibrating instrument, it fluffs out, if I understood the analogy, it fluffs out what's there. But actually, in this way, it cuts through, in the extension of the analogy, the so many layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of crud, of darkness, of forgetfulness. So this is the Sankirtan, and this is what we are about, and this is what is also happening in the Bhagavatam. This is happening in all these different regions of Jambudvip, and particularly what's happening in this area of Jambudvip is that Lakshmi Devi, Rama Devi, is praying to a form of the Lord. He is, as Pradyumna, a son of the Lord, who is very much about, he is very much about the erotic aspect of the Lord. And through him, he is, or she, Rama Devi, is desiring to approach the Lord. It's interesting that this section comes immediately after a section describing Prahlad worshipping Narsingha, in which all of the prayers are about renunciation. So there's this, you know, I pray that I never be born as a woman. And I want to be finished with the family and, you know, renunciation. That's the mood. And then we come to another Varsha. You know, maybe you don't feel so much at home in Hari Varsha with Prahlad. Okay, you can go to Ketumala, which I understand from our Madhavendra Puri Prabhu is called Ketumala because it is showered by ketus, by meteors, by comets, which makes it sound a little dangerous to me, but that's what he says. So there are different places in this geography with different moods in these kirtans that will be coming in these next days. We'll be hearing so many different moods of the it's all going to be Hare Krishna, and someone might, you know, an outsider might come and say, good grief, all day long they chant the same mantra. Can't they think of something else to chant? No, we'll chant Hare Krishna because it is complete. And there's unlimited moods in which the mantra can be chanted. So unlimited melodies and rhythms and speed and... Yes, it's unlimited. It's sankirtan. It's complete description of the Lord. So that's going to be our pursuit this weekend. And as they say in Sankirtan, the more the merrier. So it's going to be not just more here. We understand it's going to be more than more. It's going to be so many. So this will be very nice. Yes, I think this is what I have to say on the subject. One could say so many things, but we do have a little surprise right now. And unless there's a burning question to anything I've said. Okay. Okay, yes, good point. Mahaprabhu Prabhu is pointing out that the concern when we speak of bridge preaching is that the condition of those doing the preaching may not be what it should be. The preaching may be there, everything else may be there, but unless how did you put it? Unless the heart is in the right place? You used an expression. Yeah. Purity, theology, enthusiasm, and cooperation. Yeah. If these are lacking, yeah, we might say unless if any of these are lacking, then you don't have a solid bridge. Yeah. So that's a good point. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Hey, where are you coming in from? You know, you strike up a conversation with someone. That's, you're starting to make a bridge. That's, Yeah. Yes, exactly. Okay. I think on this point we can end. And now, are you ready for the big surprise? Today is a very special day. Today is the 50th birthday of Mahaprabhu Prabhu. Mahaprabhu Prabhu ki.
Krishna. So Mahaprabhu Prabhu took birth in Krishna consciousness when he was 19. He was studying upstate New York, political science in the university, I think first year, I guess. But then he got the idea to travel to India. But since he took a big travel, he also wanted to first visit Europe, Paris. So then in Paris, because Mahaprabhu likes prasadam, then he became attracted to take prasadam in the Govindas, ISKCON Govindas restaurant in Paris. L'Arbre à Souhait. The desire tree. So where Kishori Mataji was personally cooking for Srila Prabhupada, she was running and cooking for that restaurant. And there in the restaurant, the devotees preached to him. Adhiraj Prabhu. Adhiraj, the author of the Le Goût Supérieur cookbook. He preached to him. And he convinced him to go and visit Ermanonville, which was this big center, Krishnaville, named also. Krishnaville in Ermanonville, to visit it. And then basically he stayed. And he became a devotee, went on Sankirtan, was a very good book distributor. He even won, and in France it was not a small thing. It's nothing compared to our little marathon we had. It was a marathon with, I don't know, maybe 100 devotees, maybe more, going out on book distribution full time. So he won sometime later such a marathon in France. And book distribution always was close to his heart and still is. Even because of having an Uruguayan passport, he had to leave France once in a while So then he went to the UK, to London, to Soho, and then he did book distribution there. And then in 89, sometime after Bhagavan Prabhu had left and France situation wasn't so clear anymore, then Mahaprabhu came to Radhades, and then he got into Radhades' situation here. And so here also he was very close to book distribution and to the development of this project. He came in June 89, and then Ashoka Mataji, she came in September, October 89. And of course he was a brahmachari, but he was interested in the development of the boutique from the beginning, because even when Ashoka Mataji was doing the boutique at that time, in 90, then Mahaprabhu as a brahmachari would go in the boutique and give her some advice on on how to do things, how to improve, how maybe, you know, we should buy this from India, maybe you should present it in that way. Of course, Ashoka Mataji also had her vision how to do things. So then, later on, then Ashoka Mataji, she went into the Gurukul. She started to do the Gurukul with Jyotirmayi Mataji and following up afterwards. And then Mahaprabhu kept supervising the boutique, and also started to get buying the paraphernalia and following up other devotees who served there, like Anandini, Lala Samai, Lokamangala, Mataji, etc. So he kept supervising up to sometime recently, a few years ago actually. And of course, now we have experienced devotees looking after that. So that was always a point of interest. And then also Mahaprabhu got a lot into other things, communication. He basically started ISKCON Communication Belgium in a serious way. He also started Interfaith. He also started his own interfaith group, which is named Convictions and Dialogue. I have everything on my paper, but Convictions and Dialogue. And then also he started the Belgium Hindu Forum. He also was very instrumental in starting the European Hindu Forum. He was also very instrumental and a founding member of the Belgium Council of Religious Leaders, which is an important group that can in the future have a lot of effect and work with the Belgian government. He also recently set up the ISKCON Belgium organization, national organization for ISKCON. He was very instrumental in setting up the management structure here, because Mahaprabhu always has a very long-term vision. He doesn't see a short-term vision. He's long-term vision, and so he was very instrumental in our the way we manage Radhades today. He had a lot came from his input, and still is giving advice for that. Also related to, is still busy with that, related to the properties and to make it secure, to bring it to one entity, all the properties of ISKCON in Belgium, etc. So then also he is the ISKCON Communications Minister for Europe, and he is also in the executive committee of the RGB Europe. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few things, although it's a lot. I'm coming to that. Also recently, and that's related to the class, also the preaching, of course, the faith, interfaith preaching also, but also this MOSA, Museum of Sacred Heart, the last few years is focusing on a Maha Big project, and that's going to be, again, something with very big vision, where he is bringing the Indian Vaishnava art, Indian religious art, he's bringing it to Europe in order to, as bridge preaching, to attract like a higher class of people and bring them to Krishna consciousness. So we have here Museum 1, Museum 2, Museum 3 is in Brussels. Something is going to happen in Villa Vrindavan. Mosa will be there for the next Janmashtami in the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And so it's again, and at some point there might appear, you know, a big museum of sacred art somewhere. It's difficult to say where. But it's again going to be a huge preaching effort of high class level of sacred art, which then the people come in contact with. This is also due to the fact that he is the only child of a famous artist, and so Mahaprabhu learned to take care of his father's work and art, and so he's that ability which he learned, he is now using that, and in this way bringing Vaishnava art to the forefront. Besides all this, he is also very much a family man. He is very nice. He loves his child and his wife. He is very steady, and although he is a lot traveling internationally, he is a lot of meetings, he's going to Brussels practically every other day when he is here, still he gives a quality time to his family. Right now they are making a puzzle at home, which binds the family together and in this way makes everybody happy and Krishna conscious, in a Krishna conscious setting. So we couldn't let this opportunity pass by without giving some attention, because Mahaprabhu has meant so much. The nice boutique, restaurant, guest house, that wouldn't have been there if he would not have been here, or if he would not have given his donations. So Mahaprabhu has meant a lot for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's temple, for this community. So we couldn't let go by this opportunity to thank him and to say a few words. Mahaprabhu Prabhu ki jai. One thing that was difficult was to choose a present for Mahaprabhu, because he has everything. And so the only way we could look was to the spiritual presence. And even there, because at some other occasion he received Gopinath's flute, but there is something he didn't have, and that is Gopinath's ankle bells. So we were able to give that, and also the Nisrimhadev yantra. So.
One thing that Rita Chaitanya Prabhu didn't mention is Mahaprabhu Prabhu's support of Bhaktivedanta College. So I think that has to also be mentioned. And I wanted to express my appreciation for this support that you're giving, because I think I can say that on behalf of our students and staff, that we appreciate all that you are doing in this respect. Am I right?
Yes.
And I also have a little gift for you, which I hope you'll have some appreciation for, because you are so much involved in interfaith dialogue and such things. This is a collection of essays that I've written while I've been studying in the universities over an 8-year period. And the thread that runs through all of the essays is really dialogue. So I thought maybe this would be interesting for you. Hare Krishna.
I just want to say one little thing about Mahaprabhu, although they already mentioned this aspect, that actually Radhadesh actually owned so much to Mahaprabhu, especially for me, I think about the guest house, the so many buildings, and as maybe most of you didn't know, but maybe some of you don't really realize at which point actually his input is great, because and for me it's amazing, this fact. It's Mahaprabhu actually, I'm extremely astonished year after year and surprised how he's able to engage all his Lakshmi's money in the service of Krishna. And it's especially for me amazing, and I have difficulty to actually understand that, because I know that when you don't have so much money, and usually devotees, they don't have so much money. If you read the scripture, Krishna doesn't like to give, because he knows how dangerous it is, and in most of our case, it's more safe to be a little poor and to have a lot of Lakshmi. But in the same time, we see in ISKCON, you have few examples like Mahaprabhu, or you think about Ambarish Maharaj, those persons. And it's very easy to say, oh, if I will be rich, I will do that for Krishna, I will give that for Krishna. It's so easy to say, but my experience, it's really not easy at all. Because when usually you get the power through the Lakshmi, it's so, the tenant, it's so quick to use it for your own sense gratification. You know, sometimes I even imagine myself, if I would have the money, yes, Mahaprabhu, I could buy a Jaguar, a thing like that. That's my kind of thinking. But Mahaprabhu, he always use everything for as much he can for Krishna, and he keep a very simple life. So for me, that's really something out of the ordinary level. So I want to give you some teeny gift from a poor man.
Inside. I'm getting old, so I have to sit a little bit. So I just want to say a few things. First of all, that when I came to Belgium, actually I wanted to go back to France because that's where I joined, where I did Sankirtan, where I knew devotees. I felt that was my home, but Krishna kind of took me away from France. I was in the UK for a year, and then I was kicked out of the UK also because of passport problems. And when I came to Belgium, I was very much in anxiety because they put in the UK, when you're asked to leave the country, they put a cross on your passport, which means the next country will be very much concerned. Why were you kicked out of the UK? So when I arrived in Belgium, I was very much in anxiety that immigration officers would say, what is this? You cannot come in. Go back to Uruguay or something like that. But when I arrived and I presented my passport, the Belgian officer, he saw it. He saw the cross and everything, and he said, welcome to Belgium. I think that was the most polite immigration officer I've ever seen at the Belgium immigration. And then when I was in Brussels for a while, for a few months in the center when Nadia Vihari was also there at that time. And then, of course, Radhadesh was such a big project which was developing, and somewhere or other I was pulled to come to Radhadesh. And also I spoke with Jagopal at that time saying that I had no intentions to stay here. He was more or less in charge when I came. And then I was telling him that I wanted to go to France. That's where I really wanted to go, to do service and go back to the French Yatra. And he said, but I couldn't go, and I didn't know where to go and what to do. So he said, just stay here, stay in Radhadesh. And for me, that was a big click because I was kind of restless. I wanted to go somewhere and like that. And then Radhadesh became my home, and I've been here for very long, and no plans to leave Radhadesh. And then another thing I just wanted to mention is that Krishna consciousness is so intense, the process is so intense, that even though I'm only 50 years old, not too much, and 30 years in Krishna consciousness, I feel like 500 actually, or more, because there's so many things happening in our consciousness, in our minds, in our actual life. You're doing so many things that you would never do if you were not in Krishna consciousness, like so many projects, activities. So sometimes I wonder that it looks like a few hundred years, both mentally and physically sometimes. And I just wanted to also mention that I've learned in many years in Radhadesh that there's two elements of Krishna consciousness that are so important that sometimes we don't give it as much importance as the chanting and the reading and the worshipping the deities, which obviously are the pillars of Krishna consciousness. Also the practical service, to actually have a service, to have a practical service that you can cling on to in good times, in bad times, in difficulties, in easy times. And also the association of devotees, to actually be amongst devotees, to be in the association of devotees. That's, for me, became very, very clear that these are essential to continue in Krishna consciousness. Because without the association of devotees and without some service that one can offer, some practical service that one can offer to Krishna, then even if we're very strict with chanting and we're very strict with reading and worshipping the deities, it will not be enough. We will have problems. So the devotees are the ones who keep us in Krishna's consciousness, especially in times of difficulty, and service as well. That we can cling on to service when we feel sometimes a little in despair. So, you know, that's something I wanted to share, and thank you very much. I feel I was put on the spot much more than I thought. Thank you, and Hare Krishna.
There is a breakfast cake that will be distributed during the breakfast prasadam. Mahaprabhu Prabhu ki jai, Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Mahaprabhu's family ki jai.